We're continuing the Shir in Sipure Maisias, the final story, the Zion Betlers as it's called. In the previous Shir, we spoke about the second day of the Sheva Brachas, whereby the young couple, the two children who were originally lost in the forest, and they became Betlers, they joined up with other beggars, and then they were married, and there was a tremendous celebration at their wedding. And as is the custom among Jews, that following the wedding, there are seven days of celebration, including the day of the wedding, actually. 7 days of celebration. And we're told that when a Jew celebrates, one of the most important things is to try to remember good things, besides what we're actually celebrating, to try to recall also other good things that Hashem has done for us, and to take the opportunity during the celebration to remind ourselves of those things and to actually express our gratitude to Hashem for the wonderful things He's done for us. So this couple at their Sheva Brachas, when they were so happy, they reminded themselves of the incredible kindness that Hashem had shown them when they were lost in the forest, when they met up with seven beggars separately. First one came and he gave them food and water, bread and water. Then he left, then a second one came, then the third one, all seven. And each one of these seven Betlers had a unique, distinct problem, which seemed to be a defect, a deficiency. One of them, the first one, seemed to be blind, the second one seemed to be deaf, the third one a mute, and so on and so forth. And each one of them made it clear to these children that I might seem to have a defect, but it only seems that way. In reality, I am outstanding. This item that appears at first to be a defect is really a major quality of mine. And we were in the middle of speaking about the second Betler who appeared, and each time they would be at the Sheva Brachas, they would be yearning, if only, the Betler could be here to join us. On the first day, they wanted the first Betler to be there, on the second day, the second. And sure enough, as a result of their deep yearning, the Betler actually shows up, and he comes. And in each case, he tells this couple that when I was with you in the forest, right before I left, I said, I'm giving you a blessing, a bracha, that you should be like me. You should have this outstanding quality that I have, which at first seems to be a defect, but in actuality it's a major quality. But now at the Sheva Brachas, I'm not just giving you this as a blessing, I'm giving it to you as a gift. It's called a drosha vishank, a wedding gift. I'm actually giving you a gift that you should be like me. And in the case of the second Betler, he said, my gift to you is that you should be zeche, you should be privileged to have a chayim tovim, a good life, like the good life that I have. And he went on to tell them a story to prove the good life that he had. And the story involved a country that had an incredible garden. And in this garden was all kinds of fantastic tasting and smelling things that looked beautiful to the eye and smelled fantastic and also tasted incredibly delicious. And there was a gardener that took care of this garden to make sure to maintain it. And this garden was a source of sustenance and pleasure and life for the country that it was in. And then at one point in time, the garden became spoiled. Everything in it spoiled. It lost its beauty. It lost its good aroma. It started to have the stench of like spoiled meat, nevela. And it also lost its smell. And the people, this destroyed the entire economy for that country. And they went looking for a solution, and at first they thought that their solution would be that the ones who could help them would be the people from the land of wealth. But on their way to the land of wealth, they meet up with those people who are actually on the way to see them, and they meet up with the Betler, and that the people from the land of wealth are shown that they're not in any position to be able to help these people. Because even though in this world, in the physical world, in the materialistic world, many of us think that wealthy people have the solutions to all problems, that all problems can be resolved with money, we find in reality, in many cases, the wealthy people seem to have the most problems, unfortunately. And we saw in the story that when these wealthy people started approaching this land, they were immediately affected in a negative way by the spoilage in the garden, the bad smell and everything. They felt weakened by it, and this was a clear indication to them that they were not the ones who were going to be in a position to save this land or to correct that garden in any way. And the Bettler says, I'm going to be the one. I'll go, and I'll show you that I'll be able to repair that land. And if I can do that, that'll prove to all of you the incredible good life that I have. Because in order to be able to repair that garden, which is such an incredible source of goodness, the only one who could repair it is one who is lacking nothing. Because if a person has anything that they're lacking, if a person is missing anything or defective in any way, and they go into this sick bed, in a sense, they'll be pulled down. This is a very important point that Ravenu Zal, Rabbi Nachman, speaks about in Likutei Moran, in chapter 8, in the first half of Likutei Moran. He quotes a statement in the Gemara, where the Gemara says, on the Pasuk, Tacharish Kevala Tzadik, Kevala Rosho Tzadik Mimenu, that we have to be silent when we see the Rosho swallow up one who is more righteous than him, Tzadik Mimenu. And the Gemara says, that's an interesting wording in the Pasuk. And the Gemara says, the Pasuk is teaching us a very important point, that a Rosho, an evil person, or the forces of evil, have the ability to swallow up one who is more righteous than them. Better than them, but not perfect. As long as a person is in a state of imperfection, that person is vulnerable. And when that person enters into a place of evil, sometimes to try to repair the evil, unfortunately what happens sometimes is, not only don't they succeed in repairing the evil, but they end up being harmed in the process. Whereas the Gemara says, Tzadik Gomor Einoi Boileya. A tzaddik who is complete, who is 100%, that tzaddik, the Rosho cannot swallow. The tzaddik who has really perfected himself completely, he has eliminated all evil, all negative forces from all the elements inside of him. We know that everything in this world is comprised of four basic elements. Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Ofor, fire, air, water, and dirt, or earth. These are the four basic elements of creation. And the Torah teaches us that in these elements, there's a good aspect to each one of them. There's a positive aspect, there's a negative aspect. Fire can be very constructive, can be used to heat homes, to cook food, in building, in all kinds of positive ways. And we know the fire is one of the most destructive things in this world. Water is a necessity of life, and we know that in current events, we hear that word tsunami, we hear about water being one of the most destructive forces in the world, Rahman al-Islam, and so on and so forth. The tzaddik who has succeeded in ridding himself, eliminating from himself all negative aspects of these four basic elements, meaning, for example, when we talk about anger as being one of the most negative characteristics that a human being can have. Anger means uncontrolled, where a person cannot control their emotions and they can unleash a destructive fire, a verbal fire, whether it's in words, whether it's in actions, breaking dishes, breaking glasses, as an expression of a person's anger. That represents a negative aspect of fire, the negative aspect of fire. Whereas on the other hand, we have the term hislahavus. When a Jew performs a mitzvah, an act of kindness or goodness, with warmth, with a passion, a positive, healthy passion, That's the positive side of this fire. And the true tzaddik, the tzaddik gomor, is the one who has eliminated all negative aspects of these four basic elements. Not only has he eliminated the negative aspects, but he has gotten himself to a level where there is no potential. He has destroyed the potential of them having any control over him. Not only has he eliminated the bad, but he's driven it away with such success that the bad knows, as we say, not to mess with him, not to go near the tzaddik anymore, to keep back 200 feet from the tzaddik in a sense. That tzaddik is referred to as tzaddik gomor, and Rabbeinu Zal writes in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, that tzaddik and those who are very closely attached to him, very solidly attached to him, they have the ability to enter into the realm of the Sitra Achra, the other side, places of evil, places, problematic places, and to be able to try to turn them around, rectify them, because they do not have to worry about being harmed in the process whatsoever. So this Bettler enters into this country, and he starts looking around, he starts analyzing what's going on, and he realizes through his experience, which we explained in the previous year, that there are three terrible problems going on in the country. One of them is that he sees people laughing, happy. Laughing is a wonderful thing. Happiness is special. But when he listens carefully to what they're laughing at, he hears that people are saying obscene jokes, profanity, and giggling and laughing about that, which he realizes is the other side. This is the negative aspect of joy and happiness. Then he goes to another city in the country and he sees people arguing about a business deal, and they go to court, and the court rules that one of them is right, the other one is wrong, but as soon as they leave the court, they're arguing again. And they go to another court, because they know that this country, everything that takes place in the court system is based on bribes. And the Torah tells us that bribery blinds a person. We know that profanity, obscene jokes, things like that, the Torah tells us, destroys the sense of smell. When we speak about the purity of tzaddikim, the purity, the Gemara mentions this in several places, the purity in the relationships between men and women, both in action, in speech, on all levels, that purity is reflected in the sense of smell. We find the Gemara tells us about Moshiach. We're all waiting and hoping for the final permanent salvation of the Jewish people, which will be Moshiach ben David. And when the Gemara describes his greatness, his quality, the Gemara says that he will be Moirach Vadoen. He will be able to smell the truth. His sense of smell will be to the highest degree of perfection, and we're told that this is based on the highest level of purity, tahara, kedusha, holiness, and tahara, and purity, in the area of the relationships between men and women. That's the smell, and the ability to see clearly, and to be able to see things right, is dependent on honesty. The Torah tells us, ki ha-sheichad ye'aver einei chachamim, that bribes blind smart people. Look at who we're speaking about here. The Torah refers to him as smart. The Torah calls him a chacham. Chacham means one who has good eyes. The Torah speaks about Adam. Adam Arishim, it says, and chava vatipokachna einei shnehem. Their eyes were filled with knowledge, with understanding. And yet the Torah tells us that even a chacham, this shoychat, bribery, can blind him, can cloud his vision. Bettler observed that in this country there was no truth. And then he noticed also that there was complete immorality between the men and women. And he said, this is the reason. Now I understand the reason why your garden has spoiled, why it's lost its beauty, its visual beauty, and its taste and its smell, all of this is because of these things that have infiltrated your society. And the Betler made them aware that how did this come about? That there was a cruel king who had visited this country, and he left three groups of his servants in the country, and he gave them their mission. Their mission was to spoil the visual, the sight and the taste and smell of this garden in the country. And they did this through these terrible things that they that they introduced into this country. And the Betler said, therefore, my advice to you is, if you want to correct, if you want to fix the garden, find out who these people are, search and identify who these servants of this cruel king are, and if you get rid of them, you're going to see that your garden will be restored and everything in the country will be rectified. And sure enough, they went ahead and did this. They rid the country. Each person, they would, any person who was a stranger, they would investigate and see, and if they found that this person wasn't one of the original people of the land, he was from the servants of that evil king, they would evict him, get rid of him. And then they saw that everything started taking on, they started restoring the taste and the smell and the beauty of this fabulous garden. And then suddenly there was an excitement among them where they said that there's a crazy person going around claiming that he's the gardener. And everybody considers him nuts, crazy, to the extent that they chase him and they throw rocks at him. But now they started to think, could it be that he really is the gardener? Could it be that we're all mistaken? And sure enough, these people went, the ones who were going around correcting the things in the land now, they went, they got hold of him, and they brought him before their tribunal-like, and the Betler said, definitely, this is the original gardener. And by through this, the Betler showed, he proved that he was the one, that I live such a good life that I have the ability even to go into a place like this where their good life has been turned upside down completely and to be able to straighten it out, to be able to correct it completely. And this is what this second Betler said to this couple: in honor of your wedding, your Sheva Brachas, I give you a gift that you should be like me. You should have this Chaim Toivim that I have. Regarding this gardener, there is a chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal's Sefer, chapter 65, where Rabbi Nachman speaks about the garden, the beautiful garden of souls. We know that there are many psukim in the Torah that refer to the Jewish people, to the souls, as being in a garden with beautiful trees and flowers and blossoms. And in that Torah, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the gardener that's responsible for the garden, to maintain it, to make sure that everything is in its right place, that two plants aren't too close to each other, where one of them can harm the ability of the other one to develop and grow properly. And there Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this concept of the gardener, referring to the tzaddik, again, the leading tzaddik. We know that throughout all the generations, there are, the Jewish people have tzaddikim, righteous people, who lead us, who teach us, who help us. And one of the points that Rabbeinu Zal and the Zohar HaKadosh, all the Sfarim emphasizes, that among the tzaddikim, there is a tzaddik, there is a leading tzaddik, whom all the other tzaddikim draw from. Just like when we speak about prophets and prophecy, the Gemara makes a clear distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu versus all the other prophets. And the Gemara says that all the other prophets, even though they saw Hashem to a degree, their ability to see Hashem is referred to as aspaklaria she'ena meira. It's a vision that's not perfectly clear. Whereas the way that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to view Hashem is referred to as aspaklaria hameira, a very clear vision. And the Gemara and the Sfarim HaKadosh make reference to the fact that all the other prophets received their prophecy via Moshe Rabbeinu. And so too, regarding the whole concept of the Torah being given to the Jewish people. The Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that Pirkei Avos, there's a Gemara called Pirkei Avos, Masechta Avos, which is a collection of the choicest statements of each one of the rabbis of the Gemara. Each one of the rabbis was asked to present his most important, what he felt was most important, his most important contribution to Klal Yisrael. And this is what appears in Pirkei Avos. But before they start introducing the statements of the rabbis, the Masechta Avos begins with establishing the foundation of our heritage. And it begins with the words, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Umesora LeYehoshua, VeYehoshua LeZekeinim, UZekeinim LeNeviim, that there is this chain, there is this chain of command, there is a Moshe Rabbeinu, a singular tzaddik, whom the Torah makes perfectly clear throughout, that this tzaddik is Kolel, he's a composite of the entire Jewish people. We find in many places in the Torah where it says, Moshe v'Yisrael, or Moshe u'bnei Yisrael. And the Gemara says that by presenting it this way, the Torah is showing us that Moshe Rabbeinu is equal to the entire Jewish people combined. And in that capacity, his connection to Hashem is the highest among all the other tzaddikim, and all the other tzaddikim, their connection to Hashem is dependent on him, and it's dependent on their receiving from him. In our case, and a person would say, wow, this tzaddik obviously receives tremendous respect from all the Jews, and especially from the tzaddikim. And yet, we find throughout our history that many times this greatest tzaddik was persecuted not only out from non-Jews, but especially within our own nation. Whether we speak about Avraham Avinu, who was referred to as an apikores during his time, he was called a min. He's the atheist, the non-believer. Everybody else believed in idols at that time. He was the only one who was bucking the system. Avraham Ha'ivri, the whole world is on one side, he's on the other. He's the opposition. Avraham Avinu is the opposition. And we see, the Pasuk says, Ves hanefesh asher osu b'choron, that Avraham Avinu and his wife brought people close to Hashem. They broadcasted faith in Hashem, but the Torah says they did this under fire. B'choron b'charon af. They were persecuted. They were harassed. He was thrown into an oven, and all the suffering that he went through. Yitzchak Avinu with Esav, Yitzchak Avinu with Yishmael, Yishmael shooting arrows at him, just playing, just for fun, making him the target, using him for target practice. And then we move on to Yosef HaTzadik, being persecuted by the greatest tzaddikim during his time. And we find Moshe Rabbeinu, during his time, Moshe Rabbeinu under fire by 250 Roshei Sanhedrin. We find this again and again. We find these words in the Torah, in the written Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Oid ma'at uskaluni." If it gets any worse, they're going to stone me. Just like in the story here, just like Rabbeinu says in the story here, that the gardener, when people would see him, they'd throw rocks at him. Who's this gardener they're throwing rocks at? Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzadik, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. The Gemara tells us that there was a rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who when Rabbi Akiva was about to pass away, and he was giving over the mantle of leadership to his students, he told his student Rabbi Meir, you will take over the yeshiva, you become the Rosh Yeshiva after I pass away. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal looked at him, looked at Rabbi Akiva, questioning. How could it be? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal knew who he was. And Rabbi Akiva said to him, don't worry. Your greatness, only Hashem and I know your greatness. And we find that this is how great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was. He's the one who was given the privilege to actually put into writing the secrets of Torah, the Zohar HaKadosh, the foundations of Kabbalah, revealing the Kabbalah to the world. And we find that this Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal had to run for his life, had to hide out for 13 years, because someone, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, made a statement, and someone went ahead and told that over to someone else, and the word got back to the Roman kingdom, to the Roman government, that this is a a rebel, and they searched for him, and he was forced to hide out, to live in a cave with his son for 13 years. And we find this throughout history, that the gardener, the most important tzaddik, whether it was the Ari HaKodesh, the Arizal during his time, the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh during his time, major tzaddikim who had people throwing rocks at them. And it's interesting to note, there are tzaddikim who mentioned this to their students. They said to them, when their students were expressing their gratitude and the appreciation for how the tzaddikim were helping them, there are times that the tzaddikim would say to them, I'm just asking you for one favor, one thing. And the student would say, sure, anything. There isn't anything in the world I wouldn't do for you. The rabbi would say, when you're going to throw stones, throw little ones. Don't throw boulders, throw pebbles. Implying that right now you're feeling so close to me, you feel such appreciation that you're my student. But the Satan, the Yetzirah, tries very, very hard to tear people away from the true tzaddikim. And many times, it's even their own students. We find the example of Rabbi Akiva. We could imagine how hard Rabbi Akiva worked to develop 24,000 students. And the Torah says that unfortunately they couldn't keep it together. That as a result of lack of the highest level of respect and love for each other, they ended up blowing it. They ended up destroying Rabbi Akiva's work of 24 years that it took him to build up all of these Talmidim. And we find worse cases. What we know, that one of the laws in the Shulchan Aruch, when it speaks about respect for one's rabbi, it speaks about not being chaylik against your Rebbe, not turning against your own rabbi. And a person reading this in the Shulchan Aruch says that this should be in Hilchas Purim. The only time I could ever see a student rebelling against his rabbi is if he's drunk. He loses his mind. What normal person would bite the hand that feeds him? And the answer is that unfortunately we see this throughout the Torah. We see Moshe Rabbeinu, who came and took the Jews out of slavery in Egypt and took us across the Red Sea and gave us the man and did so many wonderful things for us. And we see him being challenged and harassed and persecuted. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Oid ma'atu skaluni. One inch further, they're going to stone me. This is what Rabbeinu Zal is alluding to in this story here. That when things go haywire, when in this world, this Olam HaSheker, this world of falsehood, when things go upside down, and when the taste and the smell and this, when all of this gets spoiled, what happens is, unfortunately, people lose their minds. And they end up rebelling against their best friend. The true tzaddikim, the true Talmidei Chachamim, who are the ones who are in the best position to help the Jewish people and to help the entire world, to be a blessing to the world. The Pasuk says, Brochos L'Rosh Tzaddik. The tzaddik is the source of blessing for the entire world. And instead of the world trying to do everything they can to serve the tzaddik, to please it, to help the tzaddik, we find the gardener being chased and stoned. And we're told that when the truth will be revealed, when the problems will be resolved, when the falsehood will be eliminated, when there won't be bribes, and when there'll be purity between men and women, then suddenly people are going to realize that that crazy guy, the one who they thought was totally crazy, who they thought they needed to chase after and call him names and throw rocks at him, he's really the one most responsible for the success of the entire world, for the healing of the world from all of its problems, all of its pains. And this is where we were told that one of the greatest, most important tikkunim in terms of rectifications, we find that when the Beis HaMikdash, when we had the Holy Temple, the Beis HaMikdash, and it was taken away from us, the Torah says one of the main reasons was Vayiyu Malivim B'Malachei Elokim, that the Jews insulted the heavenly angels, referring to the great tzaddikim, the great rabbis. And when that happens, unfortunately, we find that Hashem takes that more serious. Hashem responds more quickly and with more firepower than even when a person insults Hashem himself. The Zohar HaKadosh gives an incredible example. It tells us of the story of Yeravam ben Nevat, one of the Jewish kings who went off the path, and he got involved in idol worship, and he introduced idol worship into the Jewish people and promoted it in a tremendous way. He blocked the Jewish people, not allowing them to go to the Holy Temple at the time. He was a choite umachti, a sinner, and one who caused others to sin. And the Torah says that at one point he was on a mizbeach, he was on an altar offering sacrifices to an idol. And Hashem sent one of the holy prophets, Ido Yanovi, and he said, go tell this Yeravam that he's in big trouble if he doesn't stop this. And the Navi tells us that sure enough, this prophet went, and Yeravam said, what do you want? He said, I'm here, I'm a messenger from Hashem to tell you that Hashem is very displeased with what you're doing, and if you don't stop, you're going to be in big trouble. And the Torah tells us that when Yeravam heard this, he got so angry, he picked up his hand to strike this prophet, and his hand instantaneously shriveled up, became like a small piece of skin. That was what was left from his whole hand. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, look at this, look at this. He's standing at an altar offering sacrifices to an idol. Hashem is patient. Hashem can wait. Even though the Gemara tells us, Kol zman sheyesh avodah zarah bo'olam, charoy naf bo'olam, that one of the things that arouses anger on the part of Hashem is idol worship. Hashem is angry, but he'll wait. But the second a Jew lifts a hand to a tzaddik, there's less patience, there's less waiting, the punishment is more quick and more complete. And again, this is one of the messages being taught us in this story, that the cure for the garden, the cure for the world, is dependent on the recognition of the true tzaddik. The more that we, the Jewish people, will realize the importance of our leaders, Moshe Rabbeinu, the great tzaddikim of the past, and the tzaddikim of the present generation. Each tzaddik, the Gemara, the Torah tells us, each generation has its leaders. The more that we'll be zeicher to realize this, and to want to draw close to these true leaders, and to show them the proper respect, the Torah says this, Yirei Hashem Yechabed, to show the proper respect for the true Yirei Hashem, those who really respect Hashem properly, the more that this will lead to the correction, the repair of each and every one of us individually and the entire Klal Yisrael, and the tikkun for the entire world with the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.